This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 371, recorded Wednesday, November 8th, 2017, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Yay!
So how are you doing, Jerry? Did you vote yesterday?
No.
Why? There was an election. Things happen.
Not in my area.
Nobody got elected yesterday?
Not that I know of. Voting was not an option.
Okay.
I believe.
I wouldn't know. I just know it was election. Things happened. I had to vote on a constitutional initiative to have a constitutional convention.
Okay.
We won.
Yay!
We're not having a constitutional convention.
Wait, that makes sense.
I didn't want one.
Why not?
I don't trust them. I like the state constitution the way it is. Not okay. Easy to change. If you put a bunch of delegates in a room, they're going to want to change. I would rather it be changed by the same slow, deliberate process that has only gotten us a few amendments over centuries of America.
Did they want to make it easier to make amendments?
No. In a constitutional convention, they can basically rewrite the whole thing.
Ah, neat.
That's a little too much freedom. So, what else is new and exciting with you?
So, my Nexus 6P died.
Why did your Nexus 6P die?
I don't know. It didn't ask for permission. I have no idea why.
That's rude of it.
It was. There I was. I used my phone. And then I put it in my pocket. And I was standing there. And I pulled it out to do something. And it was dead. D-E-D dead. So I figured, I guess I forgot to charge it last night. So I went and charged it. And charged it. And charged it for a long, long time. And it would never come back to life. Or so I thought. Oddly, so I ordered a Nexus or a Pixel 2 XL to replace it because this will be the third time that my 6P died. So I figured, okay, this one just gave up the ghost. So I ordered my Pixel 2 XL. It came in the mail. And with it, it came with this USB A female to a USB-C adapter. And the idea was that you plug it into the phone and plug it into the other phone. Or you could plug this into the Pixel 2 and then plug your other phone into this via the charging cable. And it would transfer all the information over. So I tried it and it didn't work because the phone was dead. But I noticed a blinking red light that wasn't there earlier. So I plugged it in and it turned on. So I transferred everything over and there it is. It was amazingly easy to switch from one phone to the other. Just plug it in. Do the transfer thing. I didn't even know that was an option.
I guess it is.
Yep. And it worked really well.
Are you sending in your old phone for trade-in or is it not eligible?
I didn't even try.
Well, I'm still waiting.
It was dead.
I'm still waiting, by the way.
For?
They have my phone. They have not given me my money.
Oh.
They get another week before I send them an annoyed email about why it is that they have what is my property and they have not paid me for it.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to keep the 6P because I don't know if it may come in useful later. I don't know.
Well, for me, if I still have the old Moto X Pure, which is fine if I have a death of my phone. I'm actually enjoying the Moto X 4.
I have to say, the Pixel 2 it's a really nice phone. It's a little bit smaller than the 6P, a little bit thicker, but smaller. And it's buttery, buttery smooth. And the only complaints that I ever see, I can find about it on the internet or about the display, and I think the display looks great.
Yeah.
It's not super bright in direct sunlight, but I don't think I've ever had a phone that was.
There's just one thing that surprises me. I didn't think you would spend that much money on a phone.
Well, desperation.
Well, no, that's the thing. I sat here and said, okay, I use my phone a lot. Do I want to spring for $650 or $850? Meanwhile, I decided, no, I wasn't going to do that. And instead, I was going to spend $400 and try to get $115 back for the Nexus 5X. Meanwhile, you weren't going to do anything, and you just spent what?
I think the total bill was just shy of $1,200.
So you got the bigger Pixel 2 XL, the one with the greater storage?
I did. I got the 128 gigabyte black. And I also got the preferred cares stuff. So it had added up. And also with expedited shipping, because my phone was dead, and taxes, it came up to just under $1,200.
Okay. Yay. And I feel guilty about $400. Maybe I need to stop feeling guilty.
Well, everybody has to make their own financial decision.
I know, but I make it a policy to feel guilty if I spend more than $200.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Why not?
It's such an arbitrary line. Now, if you spend $200 on a book at Barnes & Noble, then okay, feel guilty. If you spend $200 on a car...
They still have Barnes & Noble?
Then you should not feel guilty. You know, it depends on what it is.
No, but I'm talking about feeling guilty, not necessarily indefinitely. So how much time I spend feeling guilty is proportional to how much above $200 it is. So if I spend $200, I will feel guilty for 5 minutes. If I spend $400, I might feel guilty from that.
Well, my wife let me off the hook because I bought her a car.
Is it a nice car?
It's a 2015 Nissan Murano. Really and completely decked out.
I splurged this week, too. I bought a Kindle.
Ooh, which one?
Well, my 2011, I think it was 2011. It was a 2010 or 2011 Kindle, hasn't been holding a charge. I was able, through Amazon Warehouse, to get a 2014 Kindle. They were offering... Well, they were offering old refurbished Kindles for like $20 and $30 instead of $80 or $90. And I don't really need a... I have a tablet. I don't really need a Paperwhite.
Yeah.
So I use the Kindle when I am sitting outside. Or when I really just want to focus on my book and all the other things I need to focus on, which are
that was the biggest thing that a Kindle did for me was if I'm trying to read on an iPad or my cell phone, there's so many other things I can do with that device. So I end up not reading a lot. But on a Kindle, it's like,
yeah, and
that's what you do on a Kindle is read.
And I figured it was time to replace the older one I had that wasn't holding a charge very much. New one's nice enough. And as I said, the price was right. I don't need it. I don't get to read as much. I read a lot of articles, but I don't get to read long form. It's a pleasure for me. And I am going on a trip next.
There you go.
Hopefully it won't turn out like my last trip.
I hope not.
The little hurricane. Those people on the tour got really... I told them this was the second time I've got on vacation and ended up in the middle of a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me why I had to be on their tour.
That's funny.
Hurt my feeling.
Seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, well...
You know, some people just have a karma about them.
That
they go through life at odds with the universe.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but my next trip is Florida.
When are you coming? I'll make sure I leave.
It's nice. You don't want to see me? No. The week of December 10th, I'm going to go see my relative. But I'm always looking for activities. Maybe I should come north.
Our fair is going on right now.
But it won't be going on in December.
Probably not. December, it's too cold.
What do you consider to be too cold again? Because every time 50, you tell me it amuses me.
50 is too cold. 60 is uncomfortable. It's like I have to put on like long pants when it's down to 60. But 50 is just inhuman.
By the way,
I don't leave the house.
Temperatures will be falling here to 39 on Saturday.
Well, that's your own fault.
Yes, I had that nerve to leave the place that I live. How dare me?
Yep. Hey, man, different strokes for different folks.
But I'll tell you if I'm going to.
December is a busy month for us, of course. October was a busy month, and November's turning into a busy month, so...
But it would be rude if I didn't.
I appreciate
that moves, it. That moves the ball into your court.
I have a ball? I have a court?
No, when I tell you
ball
that
is
I'm
in it.
When I tell you that I'm in the neighborhood.
Okay.
And since I'm flying JetBlue, I'll tell you that I'm in the neighborhood when my plane is roughly over your house.
Oh, I don't think you're in the neighborhood at that point. You're above the neighborhood.
Oh, we'll see. I'm just hoping that by the time that flight takes off, JetBlue is flying out of the Marine Air Terminal. I've been looking forward to that. JetBlue's moving its LaGuardia operations from Central Terminal, which is a dump, over to the classic original terminal, Rainier, which for probably about 20 years has been the home of the Delta shuttle. Delta's moving its stuff closer to all of its other flights. So it's basically like JetBlue has its own terminal. It's a little one. Yeah, you have to appreciate it. I've had many good times at that terminal. I once showed up there 10 minutes before the flight left and still got on. That's how small the building. Anyway, let's talk about Android.
All right, Android.
Let's see. There's a November security patch, which you will be getting for your Pixel 2 XL, but I will not be getting for my phone, which is still on Nougat.
Which is kind of weird that you're still on Nougat.
Well, it's an Android One phone. It's not a Pixel phone anymore.
No, but, well, it's a Project Fi phone.
Yeah.
So I would have expected that they had a little bit higher standards.
My Moto X Pure hasn't received a security patch since September of 2007.
Well, that's not nice.
And they promised me a NuGet update on that. What is the Nexus X4 on? So this phone is the one I'm on right now. Let me actually see what the security patch is. So here we are. It's on the September security patch. I'm looking forward to it moving to the October security patch. Anyway,
I don't think there was an October security patch.
Okay, well, I'd like November because I'd like my crack fix.
Right, because that's what we want from the November security fix, our security patches. We want it to fix crack.
Well, I want to be protected against crack.
Updates.
Basically, they've decided that in addition to their monthly security updates for the Pixel phones, they're going to do minor bug fix.
So not only security, but bugs. That's cool.
Well, especially since people are upset about the screen on Pixel 2.
Oh, so they're going to be adding things like... they're going to
saturate
not just colors. Bug fixes, but actual stuff.
Well, like no features.
Trying to address the burn in.
Yeah. I honestly don't think that having patches for bugs as opposed to, let's say, completely new version is a bad thing. I would like it if I got bug fixes.
Right. I agree.
But I'm still waiting. Now, speaking of various bugs, the first Android beta was released 10 years ago.
10 years ago? That's a long time.
How long have we been doing the show now?
Probably almost that.
Not quite. We started in July of 2010.
7 years? That's almost 10 years.
7 years, 4 months. How is that almost 10 years?
You round up?
Yes, but anything can be almost if you round up.
Well, you're not going to round up 30 to 1,000.
Okay, I'll accept that.
That's an excessive amount of rounding up.
Is it?
I think so. Anyway, we've been doing Android for more than half of Android's life.
Yes. I'll agree with that. So if you like the Google wallpaper app, they've added Seascapes.
Ooh, Seascapes.
Yes. I put on landscape. I like an occasional picture rotation that I don't expect.
I just have a nice static pic, which incidentally was copied over automatically for me.
Mine is static. It changes once a day, but that's still static.
Okay.
Google Duo is apparently possibly going to become accessible with just email as opposed to requiring a phone number.
Hmm.
I worry about that.
Does that mean that you can have more than one Duo identity?
Well, that would be the idea. But what worries me about it is I know what I'd do.
Join?
No, Duo. My mother loves Duo. She finds it very simple. But being as they're integrating Duo and Tyler, they're putting buttons in so you can initiate a video call, and now maybe it could be accessed via desktop. It wouldn't surprise me if they took the video out of Hangout.
Oh. No, they won't do that.
Why? They want it to be a corporate product.
Right. Corporate needs video.
Yeah, but as I said, it wouldn't surprise me because Google does not have the best track record. So it wouldn't surprise me if what they're trying to do is to separate the video out from it. So they might no longer maintain Hangout video.
I wouldn't mind if they got rid of Hangouts altogether.
What would you use?
Slack. I've already successfully moved one of my communities from Hangouts to Slack.
What community is that?
My local Ingress.
I don't know. I'm in Slack every so often, but I don't find it quite as easy.
I love Slack. I'm in like 8 different Slack teams.
Okay. Any of them worth me joining? Your Slack buddy?
We could Slack off together? Most of them are Ingress related. I do have one Jacksonville programmers Slack team and our Jacksonville developers. Sorry.
Yeah,
programmers
but I'm not in
a bad word.
Yeah, I'm not in Jacksonville.
And the other one is a Gopher Slack for people who Golang.
Oh, I thought it was for people who use the old Gopher protocol.
There probably is one of those, but there's probably only like 4 people in it.
We'll see. I'm still an old IRC person. Anyway, Google Contacts may add real-time location sharing.
Didn't Maps already do this?
Maps has this, but this would be where you'd be able to basically share your location and your contacts.
I don't know if I like that. I would, as a matter of fact, I know I would not turn that.
Well, I actually like, I don't like find really a need for the location sharing, but I do actually like location, the timeline stuff, which I've told you about before.
Yep. Oh, you want to know a funny story?
I love funny stories.
So my parents came down to visit, and they were here for about a week. And at one point, my dad lost his phone, and they didn't know where he lost it. He didn't know if he lost it here or if he lost it over at the condo or if he left it in Barnes & Noble or a restaurant or where. So I logged him into his Google account on my computer, and we looked at his timeline. And we saw where his timeline ended, which happened to be at the condo. So I said, Dad, your phone, it's at the condo. Are you sure about that? We looked all over. I'm sure, Dad. And so they went over and they looked some more and they found it. I thought it was funny.
But it's a happy end.
It is a happy end. So the timeline I find quite neat.
Yeah, but they sent
Creepy, but neat.
They sent me a timeline in review. Apparently in October, I walked 8 miles. I spent 41 hours in a vehicle. I visited 81 cities, 310 places, 4 countries and regions. Let's see. It knows the 15 new places that I happened to visit. Little pictures of them. Very interesting. Let's see. Android Wear 2.0 gets its first standalone podcast app with Wearcast.
Ooh.
Why?
Ooh. I'm just not real. Because cool.
Well, I hear they might be shipping that watch that I ordered in July.
You know, standalone apps make, in my opinion, make Android Wear devices more useful. Instead of just being an auxiliary screen to your phone, they could actually have their own, you know, uses.
Well, a podcast app is one I could actually see and watch. Earlier today, I was on the elliptical machine. They put a gym into the building, so I went down there to do some elliptical. What do they call it when you're, if you are on a treadmill, you're running. If you're on a bicycle, you're cycling. What is it if you're on an elliptical?
Skiing.
That's not skiing.
The motions are very similar to cross-country skiing.
Yeah. But it's still
okay.
Similar. Yeah. Ellipticaling?
No. Skiing.
I still won't call it skiing.
Okay. Well.
But either way, that I could see. Basically, I had my Android Wear watch on and using that to control whenever I adjust the volume or to advance what I was listening. So I could see it being very useful if I didn't have to have the phone, but the phone would transfer the most current version of one or two podcasts to the watch, and it would be the device to handle playback. I could see advantages of that. Although I have not tried to download Wearcasts, which is the app that you can now have, which is a standalone podcast app.
How do you get the audio from your phone to your head?
Well, there are a few things. First of all, it does have a speaker if I wanted to.
Yeah, but you're not doing that in the gym.
No, I have Bluetooth headphones, but I've never tried to pair Bluetooth headphones with a watch. I know that the watch that I ordered definitely has that capability because they offered me the option to add on some headphones.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never tried to pair an independent pair of Bluetooth directly to the watch.
I wonder if it would wear the battery down even faster, because, I mean, a watch doesn't have a very big battery.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But I'd like to see something like Pocket Casts have like a companion app, because I'd want my podcast synced to my phone or when my phone was doing the playback and the positioning. But I wouldn't mind if I could have it played there. Well, let me see if it actually says what the battery life is of that watch. Since you're saying you're concerned about the battery life, let's see what they actually supposed to be on this. Do you hear that?
It's my family.
Oh, here we are. No, those are the optional add-on here. Headphones have a battery life. It doesn't say what the battery is. Watch. Now I'll have to look. But I'll keep you posted on that one.
Cool.
But maybe I will try seeing if I can play music out of my watch just for amusement value. Google Clock has an update that adds new world clocks.
Yeah, but I'm disappointed.
Why?
Because you can't select UTC as a time as a world time or Greenwich, England. You can't
Greenwich.
It's just not an option.
Sorry.
Because UTC is kind of useful in my line of work, and I can't do that on the world clocks.
Well, I haven't been using the Google Clock, being a different problem.
What?
Well, I switched to a new clock app. I was trying Sleep as Android.
Yes.
And what I was able to do is I was able to use a program that monitors intents from applications on Android and then sends a message somewhere when one of those intents are triggered.
Okay. For what?
Well, what I have is whenever an alarm gets set and then when it gets triggered and then dismissed, I have that send a notification to my home automation system. And that starts turning on the lights in my
house. Cool.
Oh, by the way, I found that that watch that I ordered is supposed to have 48 hours of battery life, depending on you. Well, bear in mind that Bluetooth is almost always on because that's the primary most Android outside world.
Right, but isn't there a difference between receiving and transmitting? I mean, I'm not very familiar
with the it'll probably run it down faster, but I don't know. As long as it lasts the day, I don't care if it's in 48 hours, I can put it on the stand. But we'll see what happens.
All right. Cool.
Let's see. Pocket Cast, since we're talking about podcasts, was updated with Oreo and also some rigid battery improvements. I'm saying a lot because I don't measure that.
Yeah.
But they now support notification channels in Oreo. Adaptive icons. Picture.
Not that I've ever seen an adaptive icon.
Picture in picture. If you're doing video.
Cool.
And so on and so forth. And finally, apparently the IDC has reported that tablet shipments have declined for 3 years straight. So people are not buying tablets.
Interesting. And why, is there any speculation on why?
Why would I speculate? You want me to speculate?
Sure, why not?
Well, phones are getting rid of some degree. People aren't carrying around tablets.
Looks like the only people who have growth in tablet sales is Amazon.
Yeah, well, when you sell $35 tablets, the cheaper Fire keeps going on sale for $35. I have two of them. I bought them to add to that home automation.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, I put a little magnetic strip on the back, and I adhered one to the side of my cabinet. And cool. That's how I can turn on my lights. That and using, I keep building more integrations, as do the people at the open source software project I'm using. Did I tell you that I taught it how to know when my washing machine?
Mm-hmm.
And I still can't figure out the dryer.
Huh. Maybe you could put a one of those things that measures load on the outlet, and when the load drops to zero or almost zero.
That's how I did the washing machine.
The same thing should work for the dryer, only more so, because I would imagine the dryer uses more electricity.
Yeah, but it's 220. I can't find anybody who sells energy monitor with that configuration. But if anybody has any ideas, I've tabled the idea for now. I have other integrations.
There are...
like the turn on the light when I...
There are multimeters that use... that in order to measure current, what they do is they have a little hook that goes around the wire and measures...
Yeah, I looked into it.
Did that not work?
Well, the problem is I'd have to separate out the wires because I can't wrap it around.
Why not?
Because it can't measure current if you have both the return and the hot.
Right, but you should be able to measure AC current.
Most of the ones that I looked at have to be wrapped around only one wire.
All right, I'll buy that.
So I'd have to basically either get it where it hooks into the dryer itself or wire it into the actual outlet. And I just don't have the patience for that right now.
Sure.
So I've tabled that project until I get around.
Yeah, if you're going to wire it, you might as well just split off one of the legs and a neutral. And there you've got 120. And you could just use a normal meter on that.
I suppose, but it's back to So I've moved on to some of my integration. This week I just figured out why my remote wasn't working. It was this annoying problem. I would press the button on the remote, the light would turn off, but about a minute later it would turn back on.
Batteries?
No.
Oh.
When I wrote the program that monitors the button presses,
yes,
I had it triggering the light to toggle based on a state change. I didn't specify that that had to be a state change from not pressed to pressed. So as soon as the button cleared itself, it sent another signal. So basically, it also toggled the light whenever it detected that the button was no longer pressed.
Ah. Uh-huh.
And since the update took about 15 seconds, it toggled the light again.
Hey, that's cool.
Yeah, so I changed the configuration, only do it when it's detecting that it moved from not pressed to pressed, which is positive because I was able to take a 4-button remote and program 4 different lights to be controlled by it.
Why not 8? Well, you probably can't do 8. 7. You could do 7.
How?
Combinations. If button 1 and 2 get pressed.
Yeah, but I have other people who occasionally might be here.
You could lay out a chart.
I'm not going to lay out a chart.
Actually, you could do 15 different lights that way.
I think 4 is fine.
Okay.
I have 3 different remotes, by the way. They're mounted to the wall in different rooms.
And that's how you take maximum advantage of lights. You put them in different rooms.
No, I meant the remotes are in different rooms.
Oh.
So are the lights they control, though. Also, I've covered up all of my physical light switches so that people can't accidentally turn them on. Having a lot of fun with it. It got me looking at transit data, among other things. I was basically looking to see, since the program I'm using was Python-based, works on sensors. You can actually turn anything into a sensor. So people have set up a weather sensor. You know, I've built a few in software that integrate into the system, such as all the temperature sensors that I program. I considered actually programming in a bus sensor to tell me when the bus was passing the neighborhood.
Cool.
Or a plane sensor. I mentioned to you that I detect planes over my house. So I have all this raw data in JSON that I could actually feed into it. For example, right now, according to the raw JSON data, which I was looking at, Delta Airlines 403 is currently at 3,100 feet. I don't know where it's going. I looked that up. But my house seat, also United 32, JetBlue 514. I believe that's JetBlue 1038, American 1635. Sorry, I'm reading the raw data.
Yeah, we can stop that.
But you get the idea.
Yes.
If you can think of some interesting and amusing things to do with it.
Not so much.
Well, you know, that's how I relax after a hard day of trying to solve problems. I try to solve problems.
Sure.
But at least if I'm building something, get something. At work, it's usually out of control. Anyway, that brings us to the podcast. How about we do this again next week?
I like that idea.
Yes, where I hear it's going to be even colder in New York.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I have to put up. I have to go and convert my air conditioners to winter operation. I have to cover them up so the draft doesn't.
You have different.
Well, I have through the wall air conditioner. I don't have.
You have different heaters. Your heaters and air conditioners are separate units, right?
This house has two-wire hydronic heat.
Water?
Yes.
Oh, neat. That would explain the boiler that you sometimes talk about.
I talked about a boiler?
You have talked about a boiler in the past.
What did I say about it?
I don't know. You mentioned that you had a boiler down in the basement.
I don't have a basement.
Or somewhere. Do you have a boiler?
The building does.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the boiler does is it heats up the water. The water runs through the pipes at the house. That's hydronic heat.
Yeah.
But the boiler is natural gas. The oil,
as opposed to
oil, the house was originally, the oil heat was sealed up and disconnected.
Okay.
The pipes are still there. They've been cemented over. We were worried somebody might come along and try to put oil into our oil pipe, which would be a problem considering it doesn't go anywhere anymore. But that's another. Although if anybody would like a gigantic oil tank, we'll be happy to give it to you for free if you take it away.
I don't want it.
Neither do we. It just was never removed. Oil heat was, so it's just been sitting buried. Anyway, pleasant thoughts aside, I'm going to go weatherize my house.
All right. Well, you have a good night and a good week, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Good night, everyone. And if anybody has any words of wisdom for either of us in daily lives, feel free to drop us a line. We love hearing from you.
Yep. Bye, folks.
Goodbye, Jerry.
Goodbye.